Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. It is Time Change Sunday, isn't it? That was the most muted, almost pathetic good morning that I've ever heard in my life, all right? So let's, just in case there's somebody visiting with us here at First Church this morning, let's show them that we have a little bit of enthusiasm, okay? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
There you go. Thank you. Good. Nice to see you too, Scott, very much. Thank you so much for being here. You know, this Sunday is always a little bit difficult, isn't it? I think it's more psychological than anything else. It is the worst attendance Sunday of the year, historically, right? This Sunday, when you change the clocks. Matter of fact, there might even be a few of you here right now are thinking, boy, this is a great crowd for first service. Does anybody want to admit that? Because I know you're like me last night. You know, you go to bed about the same time as normal, and you're looking at the clock, and you're doing the math. You know, it's not this time. It's actually an hour later. You know, if you're like me, I depend on my cell phone at night for a clock, and so I have it set that way. And, you know, they change automatically, you know. 2 a.m., it switches over and springs forward an hour. And, of course, I woke up at 12:15, 1:15, 1:58, and 2:05 just to make sure that I could look and see that it actually did change. And it did. And so then I got up this morning, you know, my regular time. I come up to the church pretty early on Sunday morning. I sit down at my desk. I look across the clock on the other wall. Of course, it's an hour behind. I'm like, oh, my goodness, no wonder I feel tired, you know. And, you know, to be honest with you, if I wasn't the pastor here, I'd probably be tempted to play hooky today myself, all right. But I'm glad you didn't, and I think you'll be glad that you didn't, too. Wasn't that a great worship set? That was awesome. Praise the Lord. That's some of my favorite songs. You know, that 10,000 Reasons song is just, you know, that's going to be one God's going to want us to sing in heaven, isn't it? And I think he's going to let Ross and the band lead it, don't you? I think he's going to let Ross and the band lead that song when we get to heaven. Well, if you have been here with us last week, you'll know that we started this brand new teaching series, preaching series entitled I Am Jesus. I'm really enjoying this. It goes back to the Old Testament, you know, when God appears to Moses and Moses says, you know, who should I say sent me? And God tells Moses, tell them I am that I am sent you, the great I am, you know, the ever-present one. Not the God that's in the past, not the God that's just concerned about the future, but he's the God of the ever-present right now. That's what he was trying to say. And then Jesus used this phrase exactly, and I don't think it's by coincidence that Jesus used this I am seven times in the New Testament. He said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, truth, and life, I am the vine. Last week we talked about how he encouraged us to remain in him. And we looked at that passage from John that said, I am the resurrection and the life, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. That great passage that Jesus spoke in the presence of the death of his friend Lazarus. And what did we learn? We learned that the resurrection is not just an event, but it's a person. That Jesus didn't say, I am able to resurrect. He said, I am the resurrection. And what we understand about Jesus is crucial. Folks, don't lose sight of that. What you believe, what you understand about Jesus is absolutely crucial. It's not only crucial for your here and now and dependent on God for everything that you need, but it also sets our destiny. I mean, our eternity depends on what we believe about this Son of God, this Jesus. So as we approach this subject, we do so with a clear understanding that what we're learning about Jesus is so very important to us. Now, let me give you a couple little examples here to help you understand this. Just this past week, or no, a couple weeks ago, I made a quick trip down south, and I was just gone for a couple days, and I visited my mother's grave. And if you are a friend of mine on Facebook or follower on Twitter, you'll know I sent this picture out. I sent a picture out of my mother's headstone. And as I was there in the cemetery, it just hit me. And I wrote this out, and I sent it out to all my friends. I said, any goodness in me is because of this woman and Jesus Christ. If there's anything good in me, it's because of this woman and Jesus Christ. And you know what? I stood there and I chose those words so carefully because I believed it from the very bottom of my being. That if there is anything good in me, it's because of this woman and her pouring her life into my life and because of her introducing me to the great I am, Jesus. And you know what, folks? When we think about what motivates us to be good, it's an important question. I mean, what motivates you to be good? Just this past Friday, I was out and I was paying for something. And it was quite expensive. It was like $113. And I had cash and I gave the girl $120. And I was waiting for my change. She punched some buttons into the register, and then she reached in and she got my change and she gave it to me. Now you all are graduates of the Altoona School District, most of us, some of us other school districts. We know 113, 120, she owed me $6 and some change, right? Right? Okay, don't laugh like that and make me think I'm wrong. Well, she got the change. She gave me a 20, a 10, a 1, and 74 cents. She gave me a 20, a 10, 30, a $1 bill, 31, and 74 cents. She handed me the money, said, "Thank you very much." She slammed her door closed, and she turned around, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. And then that little thing on your shoulder, you know, that reminds you of your mother, your grandmother, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, you know, your Sunday school teacher, your pastor. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, you know what? I could walk away, and I can do math again. You know, she owed me $6 and some change. She gave me a $31 and some change. You know, I could come away with a pretty good windfall here. But you know, my teaching kicked in, and the manager walked by, and I said, "Sir, excuse me." I said, "I you know, this is all wrong," and he thanked me, and he fixed it, and he gave me the right change, and I went on my way. But what motivates us to do good? What motivates us to do the right thing? What motivates us to choose good over, or right over wrong, or good over evil, or whatever? I mean, what motivates us? Is it who's watching? I mean, is it something else? See, that's what I want to talk to you about today, because the passage that we've chosen today, it'll be a familiar one. We looked at parts of this just a few weeks ago when we were talking about the mountains and the valleys. The passage is this great word in John chapter 10 where he says, "I am the good shepherd." Now think about that, folks, because Jesus did something here. God said, he's our shepherd, we are sheep. And then when Jesus mentions it here, he doesn't just say, "I am a shepherd." He says, "But I am a good shepherd." In other words, he uses this adjective to describe his character, to describe his personality, to describe his heart, to describe what motivates him. He said, "I am a good shepherd. I'm not a bad shepherd. I'm not an adequate shepherd. I'm not a mediocre shepherd. I'm not a shepherd that just shows up and puts in his time. I'm not a shepherd that just thinks about the sheep that he likes and forgets about those that he doesn't like. I'm not any of those things. I am a good shepherd." In other words, Jesus is motivated by his goodness, and then he defines what really describes what makes Jesus good. Look at this next phrase. He says, "I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I'm the good shepherd, And if I'm a good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, a lot of people, folks, when it talks about the motivation for why they choose good rather than evil, why they choose right rather than wrong, it really should be based on what Jesus Christ has been for you. Now, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about sheep, and I did a little more study this past week, and I found out that sheep are mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. Do you know that? More than any other animal in the Bible, sheep are mentioned over 200 times. And almost every time, it's a description of what we're like. Now, I also found out that dogs are mentioned 44 times in the Bible. Did you know that? Dogs are mentioned 44 times in the Bible. I looked, and I don't know what to infer from this, but cats are never mentioned at all. You know, that just breaks Roxanne's heart. I don't know why. But think about it, folks. Sheep, we're sheep. Sheep get lost easily. Isaiah 53 says, we are all like sheep and we go astray. Sheep are defenseless. We talked about that a few weeks ago. They have no way to defend themselves against those that oppose them or want to do them harm. Sheep are very stubborn. They do not have a turnaround or a reverse gear. They just simply go forward, not really with any kind of thought or understanding of where they're headed. And finally, sheep are known just to be filthy. Now, this is one area that I think sheep are probably better than cats. If you have a cat, you'll know the cat, that they just clean themselves all the time. Sheep can't do that. They don't do that. They are just known to be filthy. And the point is that sheep need a shepherd. And here's the thing, folks. Not only do we have a shepherd, that God is our shepherd. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But we have this friend, this Savior. We have Jesus Christ. And He's not just our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. And we can be motivated and challenged by His goodness. In other words, we can be good because He shows us what good is. You know, my grandfather said many times when I was growing up, he said, you know what, John? Actually, he didn't call me that. He called me Johnny, so let me say it. He would say, Johnny, if one person thinks you're wrong, you might be right. He said, but if everybody thinks you're wrong, you're probably wrong. I mean, you think about that. A lot of times, we in our stubbornness, like sheep, we just plow ahead, knowing that the path that we're on is not a good path, not the right path, not the path that God wants us to be on. And in our stubbornness, we go full steam ahead. My grandfather said, "You know what? If one person thinks you're wrong, Johnny, you might be right. But if everybody thinks you're wrong, you're probably wrong." In other words, we should look around. We should understand our surroundings. We should really give ourselves to the leading of God through the goodness of His Son, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. I think it's a good question, appropriate question to ask this morning. How is God good? How is Jesus Christ, our friend, our Savior, good? I mean, how is He good? And what can we learn about His goodness that can help us be good as well? Well, let me just give you a few things here, just real briefly. Number one, He's good in His leadership. He's good in His leadership. That Psalm 23 that we looked at a few weeks ago, He guides me along the right paths. There's one very contemporary version of the Bible that says, He tells me where to place my foot for my next step. See, a lot of times we think about being guided. It's all about right there. But the Bible says that God guides us not with just the way out there, but the right here. Psalm 119 said, His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His words will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God, right? We memorized that from a very young age. I did. I'm sure you did too. as a testament, as a commitment to the Word of God. His lamp, it's a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. He is a wonderful leader. Part of his goodness is in his leadership. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that he calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. Do you see that? He walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. I mean, don't you just thank God in his leadership and in his providence that he is there before us, telling us and showing us where to go. You see, for some people, they don't know him because they haven't spent much time with him. Here's the thing. If you know somebody to be a good leader, it's because you've spent enough time with them that you have seen, they have demonstrated their ability to lead. There's some of us here today that we've not allowed God to lead us. We've not followed him sufficiently. And when we question where he's leading us, it's because we've not been there close enough, long enough, faithful enough to know that he's never going to lead us down the wrong path. How good is God? How is God good? He's good in his leadership. He's also good in how he provides. One of the older versions of Psalm 23 says, "I lack nothing." And then he describes this beautiful picture of how he makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He restores or refreshes your soul. It's almost like that he's describing the life on a battlefield. But that God in his leadership and in his provision, that even though life is lived on a battlefield, that he takes you to places and allows you to lay down in pastures beside quiet waters, and your soul is refreshed in spite of the tension and the turmoil around you. I don't know about you folks, but there's lots of times in my life that I go to that place with God, and it's like, God, thank you that I have you. And I have this place. Because what I just came from is turmoil. What I'm about to go to is difficult. But right here in this time, in this moment with you, I have this solitary place, this place of solace that is a wonderful place to be. In other words, folks, have you ever thought about this? Ever thought about this? That and if you've ever lived or visited a third world country, you'll know this to be true, that there are people that have a hard time laying down at night because the noise of their rumbling stomach and the hunger that they feel. That there's people that have a hard time closing their eyes and resting at night because of the enemy that's outside the walls of their home. And they have some real fears because of what might happen to them. And God's promised that even for them, that he is their provider. And he will be for them what he wants to be for all of us. You know, a wise old homiletics professor one time told me that you should never preach anything in Altoona, Pennsylvania, that you couldn't preach on the streets of Calcutta or in any village in any part of Africa. Because the same God that we worship and celebrate here is their God too. And how good is God? How is God good? He's good in his leadership, but he's also good in how he provides for his children. Thirdly, he's good in his discipline. Now, I know that this is kind of a tough subject to think about God's discipline, that God corrects us. The Bible says, Job chapter 5, it says, "Blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hand also heals." In other words, we should get to a place where we celebrate the discipline of God. Now we know Hebrews 12 says no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In other words, when we're going through discipline, when God is correcting us, we never it's hard to think, wow, this is wonderful. But he says as we look back on it, we know that that correction and that discipline really helped us. And it takes a special relationship that we have and that we can cultivate with God where we can say, God, thank you for your discipline, for your correction. You know, when I was in Africa, I met a fella who was a shepherd, or at least he had animals that were shepherded, and he didn't necessarily do it himself, but he had shepherds that worked with him and worked for him. And I questioned him one day about how I didn't see any fences. So we don't have fences. Sheep just know where to stay. Shepherd keeps them together. I said, how's he do that? He said, we do four things. He said, number one, if a sheep or an animal of any kind is well behaved, we just leave it alone. And it can go where it wants, and it stays close to the shepherd and stays in the confined area that the shepherd wants it to be in. Says if it's a little bit unruly and, you know, we have a little bit of hard time keeping it in, he said what we'll do is that we will shorten its gait. Now, what he meant by that is that they would tie a short strand of rope between its back hoof and its front hoof on one side. And what it would do was that it couldn't elongate its step. It couldn't gallop or run. I would show you that, but I'd probably have a trip. In other words, it can only take a small step. And then if it tried to get away, you know, it couldn't run full steam, so it kind of stayed around. He said, now if we really have trouble with it, he said, what we do is that we take its front leg and we bend it up against the last joint in its leg, and then we tie that off with a rope very tightly. And then it can't put its front hoof on the ground, so then it has to just kind of hop around on the other three. And then he said, if it's really bad and we cannot control it at all, he said, sometimes we'll break its leg. Sometimes more than once. You see, the point is that for most of us, our disobedience, our lack of understanding about God and His goodness and our choices of goodness in life today, that it's all just degrees of disobedience. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not that one that needs its leg broke. But we're all the one that needs to be hampered in some way, which hopefully causes us to be obedient. Do you thank God for His correction, for His discipline? It's a tough thing to do, but it's a necessary thing because it's part of His goodness. How's God good? He's good in His leadership. He's good in how He provides. He's good in His discipline. Fourthly, He's good in His protection. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, You're with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said it this way, Luke chapter 15, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. You see, folks, for you and I here this morning, it's easy for us to thank God that He provides and thank God for His protection, but we also need to understand that His goodness is bound up in His leadership and in His discipline. And I guess when it comes down to it, the question for all of us is, what do we want to know? Do we want to know the Psalms or do we want to know the shepherd? You see, because a lot of us here this morning, we know the Psalms, okay? We know Psalm 1. We know Psalm 45. You know, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. You know, we all know the 23rd Psalm. We all know the 100th Psalm. We all know the 150th Psalm, that everything in creation, you know, everything is going to praise God. We know the Psalms. But do you know the shepherd? Do you know the one that motivated the Psalms? Do you know the one behind the message? Because it's when you know the shepherd and not just the Psalms, that's when you're encouraged to be good, even when you are all alone, even when no one else is watching. So I say to you, I say to myself, I say to all of us here before God today, let's understand that the great I Am, the ever-present God, that His Son Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Talking about His character, the word there is agathos. It's the intrinsically good nature, good in nature. Good whether it's seen to be good or not. That's our God. He is intrinsically good. It's who He is. It's everything about Him. And sometimes I think that we need to know that that's who we need to be. And that's how we need to be motivated to be good as well. You know, when my kids were younger, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, when you raised your children, we all learned this same prayer. We all taught this prayer to all of our children. We'd sit down at night whether it's going to bed or whether it's eating a meal, and we would teach our kids to pray. And even some of your kids today would probably even say this prayer today. And the prayer is like this. It's saying, you know, God is great. God is what? Good. God is good. God is great. Yes, He is great. But God is good. And because He is good, He is our shepherd. And we should be motivated to be good as well. That's the rest of the prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him. You see, folks, the whole prayer is about understanding. And I hope our kids get this. I'm not sure I did then, but I'm glad I do now. That yes, God is great. God is good. And therefore, may I be motivated. Not for greatness in the worldly sense of the word, but certainly to be motivated by His goodness, to be good, to live for His honor, and to His glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, so many times in life we are everything but good. And usually, Lord, when that happens, it's because we've lost touch with Your goodness. We've lost touch, Lord, of You wanting to be not just our shepherd, but our good shepherd. So, Lord, I pray today that we would be motivated to be good by Your goodness. That, Lord, our desire would not just be to know the Psalms, but to know the shepherd, to know the heart of the shepherd, to know, Lord, that everything about Him is good. He is motivated to love us because He is love. That, Lord, He wants more than anything else in life to lead us, to be our leader, to, Lord, to provide for us, at times, Lord, to discipline us, to hinder us, Lord, in some way that would make us good again. And then, Lord, to just know that through all of these things, His desire is to be all that we need. So, Lord, I pray that every person in this room this morning would know not only of Your greatness, but of Your goodness. And Father, may we be motivated by that goodness to live lives that please You. Lord, not just as sheep that go their own way, but to be the joyful sheep that's on Your shoulders after being rescued, Lord, by Your hands, taken back into the fold, Lord. And I pray that You would use us to show Your goodness to our world, to our family, to our children, the people, Lord, that we spend our day with each and every day. Give us the power, Lord, to be that kind of good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.